When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 237. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how's it going, my friend?
I'm tired, and so I'm trying to get some sugar in me to keep me going, and then hopefully I'll crash right when we're done these podcasts. Nice. And so I grabbed a pop from the fridge. It's a cola, but I didn't realize it was a diet cola. And as I'm reading the content, I'd be like, all right, how much sugar am I getting in me? It's like zero sugars. And I was like, WTF? What? What? So, which makes sense. It's diet. It's all aspartame and not actual sugar, but there's 131 milligrams of aspartame in this thing. So maybe that'll get me going for a bit.
Hopefully, but that's a little bit of a buzzkill that you're like, zero sugar.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I wanted was the sugar, and that's the only thing it doesn't have. I was like, God damn it. This sucks, but it is what it is. What about you? What's going on with you?
Not too much. We were kind of talking before because, it's a little bit obvious, but I have ashes for Ash Wednesday, but like I was going to say, the priest really did me dirty today with these ashes. He was not, gentle. He went in pretty good with that thumb. I'm rocking a pretty big cross, so, it's pretty obvious, but I don't know. It always bothered me when I would go, especially when I was younger and like, I don't know, I had like a priest who would just do like a little dot. I'm like, this is stupid. Like, give me the real thing. And now this year, I think my wishes were granted a little too much, maybe from when I was younger.
So when we came on, I saw the smudge. And I was going, oh my God, what the hell? Oh, wait. And then my Christianity kicked in, like my past life, basically. And I went, oh, yes, I forgot. But you're right. It goes from like the top of your forehead, basically down. And it looks like it. You moved your head and it just didn't render properly because he didn't do the full like T like no. You usually see. Also, like that guy's got one hell of a thumb because that's a thick line he drew.
Yeah, and I have a pretty big forehead too, so it's taken up a lot of room. But it was worth a laugh. So if you are Catholic or Christian or whatever and can relate, I thought I would share because I just remember always being younger, be like, this stinks. I wanted a nice cross, and now it's like, well, this is gigantic. Now what am I going to do?
I remember the crosses that I used to get going to elementary school, and it was this little kind of like, meh, here you go, and you're going, all right, that's weird.
Yeah.
But you told me something I didn't know. You're not supposed to eat meat on Ash Wednesday and on the Fridays? I had no idea. I was doing it all wrong back in the day.
Yeah, that was a big thing. So today, no meat at lunch, we did pizza for dinner tonight. So, just got to get back in the routine, I guess.
Good job on you. I apparently did it wrong. So even if I did it right, I was doing it wrong anyway. So like, God doesn't like me, I suppose. So, Oh, no. Oh well, it is what it is.
So on today's episode, we are going to kind of do a little hot or not, but not exactly like maybe what you're thinking. Hot as in like, okay, this player is trending in the right direction and they're playing really good right now, and not as in they are trending in the wrong direction or are ice cold. So we figure we just go through the lines and stuff like that. We did a lot of trade deadline stuff, obviously coming off a really deflating and kind of controversial loss last night, and didn't really want to beat down a third week in a row of trade deadlines. So instead I figured just go through the roster and kind of talk through it, I guess.
Yeah, and there's nothing really happening when it comes to the trade deadline. Like Montreal made a trade with Calgary, right? Some random guy for future considerations. that ain't moving the trade deadline needle at all.
No.
So yeah, you're right. Did you guys have Hot or Not, like the actual website? Did you ever do that when you were younger?
No, I think that was probably a little bit before my time, but
yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, like, there's similar things, obviously, but it wasn't the exact website, no.
No, like, Tinder is basically that. It just makes it a whole lot easier, as far as I understand it. You just swipe left and right.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. I haven't used it a ton because, well, I've been in a couple of relationships, but yeah, it's basically that. Yeah, it's pretty much Hot or Not, but in digital form, right on your phone.
Yeah, so we had, like, a website. It was black and, like, fluorescent green, and you had to go and click the button, and then it would render the page, because like they did it so that the picture took up the basically entire page. So if you had dial-up, which you probably did at that time, it took forever. So Hot or Not was really like you really had to commit to sitting there and be like, all right, I'm gonna do this for like half an hour or something like that, whereas now you can just be like, bah, 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 just take 5 seconds while you're at the bathroom type of thing.
I feel like that was something you had to do with like friends too, like an after school hangout kind of a thing. It'd be like, I just picture a bunch of guys hanging around the computer and be like, oh, yep, and then, you know, not swipe, but however you did it, but
click with the ball mouse, right? It wouldn't be infrared back then. No. It'd have the dumb ball.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I'm old. You're not. Let's do this Hot or Not thing.
All right.
For the team.
So we'll start up top, I guess, with their makeshift first line, but coming in at left wing is someone who is definitely hot right now in Zach Parise, who... age is only a number, Mitch. He is 37 years old, 23 points in 50 games, which that doesn't sound phenomenal. But when you consider how slow he started to what he's been doing over the last few games, it's unreal.
He's over half. So when I looked at the Hot or Not, I thought, because you framed it, right? It's to discuss who's trending in the right direction or not. And like, well, I like to put a line in the sand, like, when are we talking about here? So I went till just before the break. I tried to go like 25 games, basically half the season.
Okay.
But that brought us to like the Vegas game. And that just seems so far away conceptually, yeah, that I changed it. And I went to 22, which was the New Jersey Devil games right after that like week long break that they had. And in that time, Zach Parise leads the Islanders in terms of 5-on-5 points with 12. He's got 5 goals, 7 assists in that span. No one is better than him. That's insane for a guy making league minimum.
Yeah, and like you have to take that into consideration too. Like we understand his point pace is maybe what? It's still around like 35. But when you consider 35 points for 750,000, and when you consider you're paying Leo Komarov and Ross Johnston a combined, what, $4 million and change, and you would get maybe half of that production, roughly?
So, yeah, combined, you're right. Combined, and that's Leo in a good year. Leo's getting most of that in a good year.
Exactly. So kind of just wild to see the improvement. I know he's not going to score 20 goals and that's going to bother some people, but just this was a good signing. This was a good addition.
Yeah, because the upside was there's maybe a 20-goal player there. And I don't think he'll hit the 20, but he'll do a decent amount. I was hoping he'd do the 20 when they signed him, just kind of like... I think he's still got it, but he's still got it. It's just not that he's got. It's not he's going to be an effective 20 to 30 goal scorer anymore, but he's going to be a presence in your lineup and he's going to give it all night, every night. And he will put up points. It's not going to lead the team, although it kind of is in this short span that we're talking about here. But yeah, you're getting this for league minimum. You'll take that. That is found money, right? Like that's a... what did Dom do last time? What is it, a $3 million contract, maybe even $4 million, like market value type thing based off of what he's doing? That's insane. They're not paying anywhere near that.
No, exactly. They're getting more bang for their buck. So that's definitely impressive. We like to see that. And selfishly, I want the Islanders to keep him. I don't know if I want them to move him.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't mind it either. Like... Unless the right trade comes along. But you can hold on. You could say, like, I don't have to move this guy. If you don't give me what I want, I don't care. What are we really going to gain? If it's not a second or better, you don't move him. You have no need. Whatever, I'll just hold him. If you really want him, you'll pay up.
And it's not like they don't have other options. I mean, the last 2 weeks, we went through all the different options that they could do. And, of course, it's not going to bring back anything stellar, but... you don't have to trade every single person on an expiring deal. So,
no, exactly. So, yeah, you're right. I'm okay with keeping him as well.
Next is JG Pajot, who is kind of played all over, but been a little bit better recently. Would you enough to say trending in the right direction, or still kind of worried about?
If I'm going over the 22 game sample, I'm a little worried because he's only got 6 points in those 21 games. I believe he missed one there. But you're right. Over the last little bit, he has done much better. He's started to score points or goals, not just points. I'm just trying to bring up his last five as a vamp here. His last five games, his last three games, he's got 4 points.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's good. So that means last five, he also has 4 points. So that is good from your third line player. Where that was at the beginning of the year, I don't know, but I'm glad it's there now at least. Hopefully that continues throughout the rest of the year. Not that that changes much, but at least changes us, our perspective going into the season, going like, it's not going to be, do we worry about Jean-Gabriel Pajot? Now we don't really need to do that.
No, yeah, I don't think, like, I'm not worried about him going forward. I think he's still going to be fine. I think part of the issue is, like, just comparatively looking at some of these other guys and their stats. His shooting percentage isn't awful at 10.5. He just doesn't have a ton of shots. He only has 86 shots, which is significantly lower than some of these other guys. Even, I mean, Brock Nelson has 97, and he missed, what, how many more games? Seven more?
Nine, I think.
Yeah, right. But comparatively, Pajot played 48 games. Brock played 41. So
right.
Brock still has more despite missing seven fewer games than what JGP has. I'm not out on JGP. Like, obviously, it hasn't been a great year for him, but he does so much for this team that I'm not at the worried level, I guess.
No, he's giving us what we want, and that's a really good third line center who plays power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5. Can go out there and win a draw most of the time. He does all that, and then he adds depth scoring. Yeah, 19 points over 48 games isn't great. That paces out to what? Like, I'm just do the math here real quick. Times 82. I did that wrong. But either way, it doesn't pace out to what we would like it ideally. As I like not do the math because I've given up on it, but
that's okay.
That will turn around. Just name what, like what? There's maybe two players on the team who are pacing out to production that is adequate to what they're being paid outside of Zach Parise. So like, you can't really go like, oh, Jean-Gabriel.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair because it wouldn't be, like you said, it's not right to just isolate him when there's, well, I mean, go up and down the lineup. It's not great.
Yeah, everyone. Just about everyone is bad.
And then when you go on the right side, someone who's been very, very good recently, Kyle Palmieri.
You're right. Looking at the 22-game sample or that 22 window, that he didn't play all of it. He only played 12 of it because he missed a while. It doesn't look great. He's got 5 points, 4 goals, and an assist in that span. But when you isolate for just recently, right, when he comes back against, was it Edmonton where he joined the team when he got back in?
Yeah, I believe.
Or was it Calgary?
Let me look. I feel like Edmonton sticks out, but I don't know. I clicked on JGP.
I feel like it was.
Oh, my God. We're struggling over here.
So either way, the point is that you narrow down to when he got back into the lineup after the birth of his son and missing a game just to kind of like get back in the swing of things. He's been on fire, which is exactly what you want to see. Unfortunately, it's coming way too freaking late in the season, but at least he's doing the thing. And that's what, again, you want to see him do that. So it is, I'm just pulling it up here. The Buffalo game, right, so he missed all that. But since the Buffalo game, he's got 2, 3, 4, 5 goals and an assist in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. 7 points, 8 games for Kyle Palmieri.
Yeah, you'll take it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you'll take it now. It's just we shouldn't have had to wait that long because he went, what, from, like, November 21st up until February 2nd without a point.
Mm-hmm.
That's so freaking long.
Right, and this was someone who you signed to play on the top line who is, well, was not anywhere close to giving you top line production or anywhere close to, like, I know last year he wasn't a 25 goal scorer, but this guy's pretty much, you should be able to pencil him in for 25 goals and not think about it.
That's right, and that's why they signed him. And Lou Lamoriello basically said exactly that. Didn't isolate Kyle Palmieri, but when he spoke to the media just recently, he said, we've got some shooters or some scorers who haven't been scoring. That's Kyle Palmieri. You brought him in to be a 25-goal scorer. You paid him like one, and he ain't doing the thing.
No.
That's bad.
Yeah, it is bad. And you know what? I will say this. Obviously, again, not a perfect or ideal situation, but... if he continues and plays well down the stretch here, that you just hope that that carries over into next year.
Yeah.
Because I think it wouldn't be good if he just like completely bottomed out for the entire year. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's much more demoralizing than like, okay, yeah, I had a rough start to the year, but I kind of figured it out and I'll be all right going forward.
Yeah, because that would be two regular seasons where he does that, right? You kind of forget the playoffs because that's a different season altogether. But last year wasn't good for him either when you look at the stats. You look at his shooting percentage, was not good. And then you come into the regular season now and it's kind of the same thing. And you're going, this is not good because we still got three more years at $5 million apiece. You want Kyle Palmieri to get back to where he was. It seems like he's doing that. It is a small sample, but hopefully it continues.
Yep, without a doubt. Absolutely. But need him to continue to score, but... fingers crossed, hopefully trending in the right direction. All right, so we'll go to the second line, I guess, now technically. Anders Lee on the left side.
Who?
He's got, that kind of answers our question here. He's been very quiet.
Way too quiet. Even if he scores last night, tapping that puck in, that still doesn't change a whole lot. It makes us feel a whole lot better about him, but it doesn't change a lot. He has been MIA for a couple of weeks now. The production is there when I look at the last 22 games. He's got 7 points, but that's still well below a lot of people. Like, that's ninth on the team for 5-on-5. That's just 5-on-5 production. And well below guys like Cizikas, Mayfield, and Pelech, right? Cizikas, Mayfield, Pelech, Clutterbuck are outscoring Anders Lee over the last 22 games at 5-on-5.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's not good.
No, not at all. And I'm just kind of surprised by how low the assist numbers are. Like, I know he's not an assist guy, but 6 through over half the season is like a preposterous level.
Yeah. No, I wrote about that in my bold predictions maybe a week ago, saying like, that's going to go up. It can't be that low. And it has not. He has not really put up the assist over the last little while. So hopefully that starts to change. But if we're doing a hot or not section, Anders Lee is very much in the not section.
Yeah, unfortunately. But if we were just going based off jawline and smile, he's definitely in the hot.
Oh, definitely. 100%. Good-looking guy. But outside of that, not doing a whole lot. He's got 3 points since the Buffalo game. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Not good.
No, need to get that, you know, churning in the right direction here a little bit. How about his center right now, which is Brock Nelson?
Hot. So hot. Over the last 22 games, 8 goals, 3 assists, 11 points. I'm sure if you look at the last like 3 games, it may not be that great. But that's why I did 22 games, because I really wanted to get a larger sample than just like a couple of games. And I didn't want this to be recency bias, because over the last 5, he's only got 2 goals. The last 3 games, absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, too.
Like, but he's on.
He's scoring like a madman. 19 goals in 41 games. He's well on pace for a career high. Last year he had, what was it, 18 and 56. So he already has more with, 15 fewer games.
Yeah. And he hasn't scored 1 in 3, right? So, he's on pace for a 38 goal season. If he plays 82 games, he obviously won't, because he's 9 games short of that. But he's getting there, man. He's having one hell of a year, at least in the scoring department. So I'm going to put him in the hot column, and that's great to see. I expect the production maybe go up a little bit more or not, because he's going to get more ice time now. Matthew Barzal is not around for a little bit. I would expect the ice time to go up, and usually more ice time equals more looks, but they're also the idea that the looks you're getting are against better defenders.
That's true. That's a good point. So we'll have to see with Brock, but... I don't know how we could possibly complain about him when he has 19 goals.
No, 19 goals, 28 assists. Like, he's going to... When I did it last time in terms of pacing out, he's on pace for, I think it was 54 points, which was his career high in, well, a couple of years back. Whatever his career high was, he's on pace to match that in terms of points. And like you said, he's on pace to obliterate his goals, his career high for goals. So I don't think we can complain about Brock Nelson.
No, but I think we complain about the next guy a little bit. Anthony Beauvillier.
Yeah, not good.
Quiet. Just very, very quiet. He hasn't scored in, let's see, 10 games. You have to go back 10 games for the last time he scored. It was against Edmonton.
That's not good. Like, he got a point against Seattle and a point against Buffalo, but so that's 3 points over the last 10 games. That's not good for a top six guy.
No, and none in four straight.
Yeah, right. And we saw, like, the resurgence, right, when he went, when he played Ottawa. Got a goal over the next 6 games. Sorry, he's got 4 points. All right, 4 and 6. That's good. And then it drops off. It has been hot and cold for Beauvillier right now. And the hot periods are very quick, or like they're very short.
Yep.
Right. So they've only got a couple of games. And then he goes cold for a lot longer than he's hot for.
Not ideal, obviously.
No, and like, what do you do? What do you do now? Like, you already sat him in the press box. You're not sending him to the AHL. What else do you do?
That was kind of my question was going to be, is he a building block piece for this team, or is he a trade piece for this team?
I don't know. I could see it either way, and that's not good podcasting necessarily, but he's young. He's still quite young, right? He's only 24, is it? Yeah, he just turned 24. Well, he'll be 25 in June. I'm edging closer towards, like, if you can upgrade on this kid, you do it, and you do it quick.
That's where I'm at. I think it's just been too long of this. Like, if this was a conversation we were having 2 years ago, okay, you can tell me, yeah, he's 22. Let's give it a little bit more time. But, I mean, he's been in the league since he's 19. Like, I know that he's still technically young, but he's got a lot of NHL games under his belt now at this point.
Yeah. Now, this doesn't mean he's not going to end up being good, or maybe he can turn things around a la Josh Bailey, right? Like, Josh Bailey became that 50, 60, 70-point player later on in his career. But the Islanders don't have that time to wait for him to maybe turn into something. It's, well, we've seen you be consistently inconsistent. We're kind of tired of that.
Right. He's decent. He's not bad. Yeah. He's not... I don't even know if I could say good right now. I would say just decent.
But the thing is, right, like, what do we do, right? Like, we tried sending you down to the AHL. We tried positive reinforcement. You're going to have more PK time. You're going to do more. That worked out well. But then there's, at a certain point, there's no carrots, right? It's kind of like, well, we gave you the carrot. What did you do with it? Like, well, I ate it. I'm looking for another one. Well, we ain't got no more. What else are we going to give you? We can't make you the star of the team. And even then, once you get there, what are you going to do then, right? Like, there's no more, like... Again, there's no other carrot after this, so like, it's kind of done, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how he does the rest of this year, but maybe he's a piece used to either bring in an upgrade or bring in a defenseman, or who knows.
I think so. I think if you can use him to bring in an upgrade to the roster, you do so. I understand they're selling on a kid who's only 24, but like, next year he will be 25. And that's when he should be peaking. And if this is what his peak is, right, like, he's entering his peak this year. This is technically when they enter their peak as in terms of forwards. Some people even say 22 years old. What are we seeing here? 19 points in 47 games? That's not top six necessarily.
No, definitely not. I think he's well established himself as a middle six player. And I don't think he will ever be anything more than that because of how inconsistent he is. And it's not like,
exactly.
And I know this sounds harsh, but it's not just a one season deal with him. It's been every single year. He's been in the league for 5 years already.
Yeah, last year was the 1 year where, like, you can say, all right, that was the good one. 2 years ago, where he's got 39 points in 68 games. That was the year you're going, all right, that was the bow we wanted. And that was the year that Barry Trotz is like, okay, I'm going to give you more PK time. And he starts the year on fire because he starts the year confident. Mm-hmm. But after a while, there's nothing else to be like, I'm going to give you something to start you off hot. Like, you just kind of got to go like, well, do what you did last year, buddy. And it's just not working.
No, it clearly isn't, which is, not a great sign. So we move on from him and go to someone who does seem to be trending in the right direction, and Kiefer Bellows.
He's getting ice time. He's getting the coach's confidence, and it's working, man. Like, Bellows doesn't have a ton of points. He's got one goal, four assists in the 22-game sample that I was looking at, but he only played 13 games of those. So 5 points at 5-on-5 in 13 games ain't half bad for a kid who's 22, right?
23.
Yeah, right. So getting close, dangerously close to the Bo situation, but we haven't seen him nearly as much as we've seen Anthony Beauvillier.
No, that's the thing. You're looking at 49 career games for Kiefer Bellows. Where, how many is Bo's got to be over 200, right? I'm not a math guy.
I would imagine Bo has 380 career NHL games.
He's almost 400 games.
This guy's got 49.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's not. I know age-wise they're similar, but it's not the same situation.
It really isn't, and that's the thing. We're just getting a shot of what Kiefer Bellows can be at the NHL level, and we've got 13 points in 27 games. That's a half-point player right there. Perfect.
Right, and he's going to be cheap, too, because you'd imagine he's going to get a bridge deal after this. It's not like he's going to jump up a significant amount in salary.
Yeah, and it's not like anyone's not like, yes, top six, baby, here we go. It's like, okay, well, we might have a good middle six winger here. Cool. Those are good expectations, right? Like, you don't shoot them out in there, and then it's kind of like, hey, you had that one good stretch, you're going to be a whole lot better, and then doesn't meet expectations. Bellows is meeting expectations because he's setting them as we go.
Correct, and I think he's fine on, like, the third line. He has the physicality for it. I think he's gotten better defensively, and he's more aware of, you know, his surroundings a little bit when he doesn't have the puck, which is good.
Yeah, he's getting Barry Trotz is trusting him a whole lot more recently. They're going to keep him in the lineup. I can't see him leaving the lineup anytime soon.
No, me neither. But let's go to the temporary third line center right now in Josh Bailey, and I would say not good.
No, not good. Not good at all. Irrespective of what happened last night, he has not been good. The points, he's got 6 in his last 19 games. And that's me again going back to like the half point, essentially. 1 goal, 5 assists, 12th on the team in scoring. Sebastian Aho has more points than him and has played 11 fewer games.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's rough.
Sorry, not less. He doesn't have more production. He is exactly the same.
Yeah, but still, the 11 fewer games is the thing that stands out here.
From the blue line, not being played in the top six in a scoring position either.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and just the bad taste in our mouths from last night refusing to shoot, which is just, I mean, he's giving the ammunition to the haters. Like, there is nothing we can say right now.
No, there's not. Like, and it's not like anyone's going, he would have scored there. No one knows. But the fact that he didn't even try is just kind of like, Jesus Christ.
No, it never crossed his mind to even shoot is the issue, or what I take issue with.
Yeah, because he had 2 chances, right? Before he pulls it to the backhand, he could probably try to pop it over. But he's like, I better not. I'm going to come by. You're right, because he's looking at Bellows the entire time, cross slot. And you're going, you've got a good opportunity here, buddy. Try it.
Yeah, when you're in that close, I don't know how you don't get something on net.
No. And like, it breaks eventually to Bellows. He can't get anything on it. And then it breaks to Jean-Gabriel Peugeot in the slot, who fires it wide. But that was the chance. That was a huge chance. And then, yeah, he flubs this like neutral zone pass to Kyle Palmieri that sets up the empty net goal and game over. Thanks, Josh Bailey.
Yeah, not good, man. It's been really, really rough. And we'll see what they do with Josh Bailey, but not good.
No, you're right. He's been fighting it. And like the production, again, 6 points over the last 19 games at 5-on-5. But the ice time, man, he is... where is he? I just had it there. 263. He's 9th in terms of total ice time. That includes defensemen, right? You take them off. He's the 4th most utilized. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sorry, 5th most utilized forward on the team.
Still too
and he
high.
Ain't producing like it.
No, it's still too high.
Yeah. So not, and that's over 19 games, fifth most utilized guy, and it's just not good enough.
Speaking of not good enough, right now, anyway, I'm not saying forever or earlier in the year, but right now, Oliver Wahlstrom has not been good enough.
No, absolutely not. No, no way. I don't know what's going on with Oliver Wahlstrom, but he hasn't been MIA. It's just not been working. I don't know if it's just because Barry Trotz told him to focus on something or work on something specific when it comes to his zoning or where he needs to be. And it's just maybe not clicking for him. But something's not working right now because he's not the player he was at the beginning of the year.
No, I'm looking right now. In his last 23 games, he has 2 goals.
Yeah. Not good. Like, since the 19 games, 4 points, 1 goal, 3 assists. Not good.
No, that's really rough. Wow.
And that's all at 5-on-5. Not even talking about power play, but as we can imagine, it's not a whole lot higher. He's not like popping him in every 2 seconds on the power play. Something needs to change with Oliver Wahlstrom. And it's probably not just like not doing the thing Barry Trotz told him to do. It's probably figuring out what the hell Barry Trotz is telling him to do, because once he does, maybe that unlocks a totally different player.
I hope so. And he's that, like, while he's been struggling, he's obviously, this is a building block piece. You're not moving him. This is someone you want to build around. He's just got to figure it out for himself. I think Barry's done all he can do. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, I can't believe Barry only played him 11 minutes last night. How is he possibly going to survive that way? Well, he hasn't played well. What do you want him to do? You want him to play 17 minutes with how he's playing right now? I don't.
Like, I understand there is something to be said about, like, the more you play, the more looks you get, right? I said it earlier with Brock Nelson. But you've also got to play to get those looks. And what I mean by that is you got to deserve those looks or deserve those minutes. And he hasn't done that just yet. Maybe to start the year next year, Barry Trotz does that, like, I'm starting you on the top line, just to kind of give him that boost like he did with Oliver Wahlstrom, right? You give him that confidence boost to start the year, and they hit the ground running and they never look back. But as it stands now, he's not just going to go and do that necessarily. He's got to get him to work on some fundamentals, it seems. And once he figures that out, then maybe next year, look out.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. But right now, it's not looking great. For the fourth line, you want to do Matt Martin and Ross Johnston in one shot? Because they're basically the same player.
Yes, please.
Well, Ross Johnston had that 2-point game. But other than that, I mean, big step back last night. So not great. And Matt Martin's been quiet, man.
Yeah, so that's why Ross Johnson's not an everyday player, because he doesn't give it every day. And that just means that he doesn't try hard every day. He's trying hard every time he's out there. It's just his skill set isn't an everyday player. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's still getting paid $1 million a year, $1,100,000. Like,
sure.
Heck, I'll take that in a split second. But they need to realize what his impact level is. And, you know, what is it, the saying? Like, know your limits, play within it. They need to know what their limit is with Ross Johnston and play within it. And it's not an everyday player. No. Matt Martin, I don't know what the hell's going on, but they talked about it at the beginning of the year, right? Having like an injury issue, and maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe something's lingering. I think he got banged up in the playoffs last year too, if I remember correctly. So I'm good with Matt Martin and Ross Johnston kind of like platooning or rotating a little bit. Neither of them have really stood out necessarily.
No, we'll talk about the entire fourth line, but the entire fourth line hasn't really done a whole lot all year.
That's true. Cizikas, I will say for Zeker, I feel like a little bit better recently.
Yeah, like 8 points in the last 21 games. That's good. 6 goals, 2 helpers. He's trended in a better direction. I just did say like the fourth line hasn't been good all year, and that's necessarily true. Or that is necessarily true, but there, you know, he has turned something around recently, and that's good to see. And then kind of the same thing with Cal Clutterbuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in the same boat with Cal. He's probably, like, if you're looking at the lens of the entire year, he's probably been the best throughout the entire year. But right now, you might have to give that back to, oh my God, why am I blanking?
Casey,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting thing is, what do they do with Cal Clutterbuck, right? Are they going to trade him? I think they do. And then what happens to the fourth line, right? Do they hope and pray that he comes back? Not that I think they should necessarily. I think they should take that opportunity to change the identity. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, maybe, like, would Koivula get a look there in that spot?
I would like to at least give him a try. I'm not saying he should be the long-term option. I'm just saying we've got him. He's doing well at the AHL. Why the hell not, like, try him for longer than whatever, like, 12 games I think he's played in his career? Give him a consistent shot for a couple of weeks or a month or something, and let's really see what he's got.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Right? So he doesn't, like, he knows that he's not, like, bouncing back and forth across the Long Island Sound every 2 days. Let's give him some stability, please.
All right. So shall we get to defense?
Let's do it.
Andy Green.
I guess trending in the better direction because he's got a goal, but, like, I would not say, yeah, I would put him in the not column.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, same with me. Is there a neutral? Can it just be, I feel like, you know how the, you ever see those charts where it's like chaotic evil or chaotic neutral or chaotic?
Oh, I play Dungeons and Dragons, buddy. I know all about that.
Okay. I feel like he's neutral. Like, he is just smack dab right in the middle.
So if I'm thinking back to the Hot or Not website that I described at the beginning of the show, the page loads, but his picture doesn't. So you just move on to the next one, or you hit refresh on the page and a new picture comes up. So you're like, oh, whatever. I don't have to decide.
Yeah, that's actually better, I think. It's just like, it's there, it's happening, we don't care.
No, like, it is what it is. I don't know if they trade him, but, like, it is what it is. Andy Green is doing Andy Green things. He's been fine, but that's what we expect from him.
Yeah. His partner, very good. Really damn good.
Very good. Noah Dobson, fourth in terms of scoring at 5-on-5 over the last 22 games, with 11 points, 3 goals, 8 assists at 5-on-5. Mind you, he's added a whole lot more when it comes to the special teams.
That's great. Love that.
He has been on another level since December 5th.
The Islanders needed that, obviously. I mean, everyone's gonna bring it up, the Devontae's trade, Nick Leddy, all that, you know, all that. I know. But it lessens the blow having Noah Dobson be this good.
Yeah, I think they figured he would be this good right out of the gates, and that wasn't the case.
No.
Which I'm sure they were freaking worried about, going like, what the hell? What are we going to do now? And now that they see it, they go like, okay, well, it sucks that, you know, it took a while, but he's here. We're good.
I definitely think their defensive struggles, this is going to sound so messed up because people are going to say, like, how could you, like, I'm blaming Noah Dobson instead of blaming the Andy Greens and Zdeno Charas of the world. But I think Dobson struggling early in the year really was a big factor to holding the defense back because they wanted him to be the guy that he is right now. And I feel like it's working much better right now with him playing at that level and moving the puck as well as he has.
If anyone has a disagreeing statement on what you just said, I want them to rethink a couple of things because that's it. That is it. They went like, we'll bring in Green and Chara and we're going to have some old guys here. But that's okay. We got 3 young guys in Pelech, Pollock, Dobson, and we'll be good. Except Dobson wasn't ready, so they're like, oh, shit, now what?
Yeah, and then COVID and injuries, and you're on your way.
Exactly, right? Like, because we all thought, right, when they brought in Chara and they let Leddy go, we're like, well, that's because they're going to bring someone in. And then they didn't, so we're like, well, I guess they think that Dobson's going to be the guy. Okay, cool. If they think, and he is, we're good. But he wasn't, so... Yeah, that definitely torpedoed a lot.
Yeah, and it took him about 2 months. But I just don't think people are going to like that he's the one circled instead of the Chara and Green, which seem like the easier punching bags.
Oh, yeah. So that's not to say, like, we're here because of Dobson. It's they didn't recognize where he was at, right? Like, that's a failure on them to be like, we threw a kid in there a little bit too early, which isn't a very Lou Lamoriello thing, right? Whenever he talks about prospects, he talks about, like, you take your time with them. They didn't take their time with Noah Dobson. They got a little gun hungry or trigger hungry, trigger happy.
There you go.
Got there. They got a little trigger happy with Noah Dobson and the cap, and it bit him in the butt.
No, it's dead. Yeah, but luckily it's working out now because he's been really good.
Yeah, so like they'll be better for it next year, but as it stands now, unfortunately not.
Yeah. Second pair. You right now are looking at Adam Pellick and Scott Mayfield. I would say Adam Pellick trending in the right direction.
Yes. In terms of scoring 8 points in 22 games.
That's good.
He's three back of Dobson, right? So that's all right for what is a not offensive defenseman.
Yeah, you'll take that anytime, especially with what he gives you defensively.
Yeah, exactly right. So you're getting top pair production for a defensive defenseman out of Adam Pellick. And then, you, like you said, you get the elite level defending. We're good. Absolutely. Hot, yep. For sure.
Definitely way, way over on the hot side. Scott Mayfield, I feel like this is an interesting one.
Yeah, because it was hot for a bit, and now it's kind of not.
So is he also in the middle?
Yeah, his page, like the picture's kind of half-loaded, and you're going like, well, I like what I'm seeing, but I don't see all of it, so I don't know where to go, and then you hit refresh again.
It's a little too pixelated for us to really get a good read.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, it went well for a bit. He's got 8 points in those 22 games, so on that merit, good. But the last little bit hasn't gone very well, so, like, judging on the production, A-okay. But the recent play, you're going, that there's an extra level here that I'm not liking.
Yeah, I agree. What about Aho Pulak pair?
Aho is basically the reverse of Scott Mayfield.
Yeah, I would think so, right? It was not great to getting better.
Yeah, exactly, right? He's got a bunch of points over the last couple of games. Almost got a goal yesterday. That was so close. But I'm just bringing it up here. The last five games, he's got 4 points in his last five games. The only one where he didn't pick up a point was against Colorado. And I think his point streak extends longer than that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, he had a five-game point streak at one point from Montreal all the way to Anaheim, scoring points.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I guess my question for you is, does this change your perspective on him, or are you still kind of like, seventh defenseman, borderline, third pair guy?
I still am. A six-game sample is good, but I don't think it changes everything. I still think the succession planning for the Islanders is we're bringing in Robin Salo, and Robin Salo is going to be our third pair lefty. Obviously, they're going to see what Aho brings to the table, but at 26 years old, you're not getting a whole lot more out of Sebastian Aho, where you know you can get more out of... Robin Salo, who is not 26 years old.
Yeah. There you go. So that'll be the upgrade, and Aho will probably be the depth, which I don't think is the worst thing in the world.
No, exactly. I don't think it's a bad thing to have Robin Salo and Sebastian Aho on the roster. And they've got Aho until this year, but he's an RFA with arbitration rights, so like I don't imagine he can argue for a big upgrade.
No, yeah, I wouldn't imagine so.
So yeah. Who's the other one there?
Ryan Pulak.
Ryan Pulak is interesting because he missed a lot of time, right? That injury kept him out for a long, long time. So when you look at that like 22 game sample that I keep referencing, he doesn't have a lot of games played. I can't even find him right now for some stupid reason. Maybe I'm just not reading properly. There he is. 19th in terms of scoring. He's got 3 points over 13 games played. That's not a lot. But he started to get back to where he needs to be in terms of just ice time, right?
Yeah, it's been a slow build back up from him. I think I'm giving him a pass on this year. I think he's going to be fine, but it hasn't been great.
No, it hasn't, and he missed a bunch of time, and then he had to like basically rehab on the ice for a couple of games too. So he's finally back to playing those big minutes again. So we're just getting Ryan Pulak back in. I don't think we can give him a fair grade because of that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. As for Ilya Sorokin, good.
Yeah, good for sure. He got that shutout the other day against Seattle, so that's great. Still, it's in a couple of ones. You're going like, I kind of wish you didn't do that, but it happens.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's a little bit frustrating, some of the ones, especially like when it's like, hey, just post up, buddy, and we're fine. But his numbers have been good. He's clearly a number one goalie in this league.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the better goalies too, right? Like, not the best, but he's easily in the top five.
Yeah, which is, like, obviously, like, just comparatively, like, Igor Shesterkin plays in the same town, so he's going to be the bigger light right now. I mean, one, the Rangers are a better team. Two, he's been putting up Vezina-like numbers, so obviously he's going to get more of the recognition, but Sorokin's been damn good. If you want to even include, like, his last year numbers, so it's, like, 57, 58 games, he's been excellent. So
yeah, 920 goalie, like, 250 goals against average, so that's that. Those are winning numbers.
Yeah, it'll play. As for Semyon Varlamov, he's been okay.
Yeah, he hasn't got a lot of games because he's missed a bunch and because Sorokin is taking over. I think he's expendable now. I absolutely do. I wouldn't have said this a couple of weeks ago just because, you know, you need goalies to play games, but the Islanders aren't in any way, shape, or form making the playoffs. So you can move him if you can.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's where we're at with Semyon Varlamov right now.
Yeah, because of how good Ilya Sorokin's been, and then you just, I don't know, you pluck someone in free agency and you're on your way. It seems like the Islanders have been able to figure out these 1A, 1B situations pretty much since 2018.
Yeah, they know what they're doing in Nets. I have no problems with that at all.
Is there anyone else you want to talk to before we move on here?
No, I think that's pretty much it, right? Like, there's only ever, like, what, Robin Salo, who's played a couple of games.
Right. Well, we didn't do Barzal or Chara.
Right, but they're injured, and we don't even know how long they're going to be out for. So, like, what do we do with them? Like, Barzal has been great. Yeah, that's, well, I don't know about great, but, like, he's got 11 points in 20 games. So, at 5-on-5, of course. And that's fine. He leads the line offensively. I don't think he's been MIA or anything of the sorts.
No, yeah, I don't think so. He's been fine. Chara, I mean, obviously we know early in the year, really rough start, but he's been okay since then.
Yeah, he's been okay. And that's all you can really expect from a 44-year-old defenseman.
Yep. So, shall we move along here and get into the young guys down on the farm?
Yeah, let's do that a little bit quick because we're, like, what, 46 minutes into the show here. On March 1st, teams can start signing players in the reserve list for contracts effective 22-23. And the Islanders have a bunch of players in their reserve list. But the ones that I want to focus on are the ones that are soon to be expired. And what I mean by expired is the Islanders could lose their reserve list status. So these players would become UFAs if the Islanders don't sign them by a certain date.
Okay.
And so there's only a few of those guys. We got Logan Cockerell, lose their rights on August 15th. William Zafoul, June 1st. Russian Ishikov, June 1st. Christian Krieger, August 15th. Ben Mrazek, August 15th. And Jacob Pavonk, August 15th. Those August guys are all NCAA players.
Okay.
So which one of those guys do we sign and which ones do we not? It's really what I'm focused on.
Okay. So I would hope Ishikov, right?
The only ones that I don't think they'll sign is Ben Mrazek. I can't confirm that they won't. No one can. But something happened there between him and Providence. Mm-hmm. And he's not playing hockey right now. I can't see the Islanders signing him. I think if he wants to play hockey again, he's going to go somewhere else to do it. And I'm not sure they signed Jacob Pavonka.
Okay. Are we crying over those losses?
Not really. Like, Pavonka, really, like, elite level faceoff man. Like, Yannick Perreault type of face-off man. Put him out there, two times out of three, he's winning the draw. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
Against anyone, doesn't matter. Well, but doesn't put up points.
No. Yeah, I feel like the Islanders have a million of those guys, though, no?
Yeah. Like, good two-way center, for sure. But I don't think he's going to blow you away. And Ben Mrazek was a good defenseman. Had a couple of good years there for Providence. This one was shaping up to be an okay one productivity-wise. And then just, he's no longer there for reasons. So I don't think there's a whole lot of loss there.
No, yeah, I would have to agree with you. The ones that stood out, Ishikov was the one that jumped out. Who was it? You said William Dafoe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those two, I would say.
Yeah, so they're going to sign Zafoul. There's no question about that. Like, I know people have asked, like, do you think they're going to do it? Yeah, they're going to do it. They're going to sign Felix Bibeau to a contract. They're going to sign William Zafoul to a contract. There's no question about it. I'm still not sure they're going to do Russian Ishikov. I'm like, I more want them to than know they're going to.
It'd be weird, though. He was a second round pick, man. And relatively high, no? Top 50, I think.
Yeah, right? They took him before Bodie Wild, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm trying to do some quick math here. I think it was I'm almost positive it was a top 50 pick.
Well, I can click on his name here. It's actually right there. Yeah, it was 43 overall.
Okay. Yeah, that would be really strange if they didn't, I feel like.
And, like, he had a really good year in Finland last year. He's having another good year in Germany this time. Missed a bunch of games, but that's because of a foot injury. So it makes no sense to me to just be like, no, we're good. No, bring him in. See what you've got, man.
What would the reason be? He's too short. Didn't you know that when you drafted him?
Well, exactly, right?
Like, so, what are we doing?
Did you really think he'd blossom into some, like, 6'2", 200-pound colossus when you drafted him maybe at 5'7", 152? Like, he's added some weight since then. I think he's closer to, like, the 160, maybe even 170. But he didn't grow a whole lot because
no,
people don't at that age.
I don't think anyone's asking him to play even center at the AHL level. I don't see why he can't play on the wing in the A.
Right. But he plays center in Germany. He plays center in Finland. Different ice, of course. Right. But still, he's a decent centerman there. I think he's a better winger, but I can't see him not being signed. And then Logan Cockerell wears he's a captain for BU, so you know they're going to bring him in. He's a captain.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's what I wanted to focus on for the Down on the Farm section for this week.
Okay. Shall we try out the quiz?
Let's do it. So this is another Spiz special, Matt.
Of course, that rat.
if you don't know who Spiz is, he's one of our top patrons. Those are all top patrons, but like...
Very active.
Everyone knows, very active. There you go. Thank you. One of the more active patrons out there. Everyone knows who he is. If you want to know who Spiz is and what our patrons at, check out patreon.com/eyesonisles. $5 a month gets you all our content there. But to the quiz. Matt, are you ready? 5 clues to guess who this mystery New York Islander is.
I was born ready.
Beauty. 1. People call me Stumpy.
Rushlin Iskakov. We were talking about short people. Why not?
Incorrect. He hasn't played for the Islanders yet.
Sure.
2. I've played for 6 NHL teams.
Michael Grabner.
Incorrect. Good guess, though. 3. I've scored 40 goals twice in my career, once for the Blackhawks and once for the Islanders. Scored 42 for the Islanders, if I'm not mistaken.
Blackhawks and Islanders. Okay, next.
4. My name is Steve, and I was traded from the Isles to New Jersey for Claude Lemieux.
I feel like I should know this. Why don't I know this? Steve... Damn it, give it to me.
5. I had the same name as an artist, a Welsh footballer, a rugby player, and an Australian politician, so it's a pretty common last name that starts with TH.
With TH?
Yeah.
Steve Thibodeau?
Thomas.
I went way off. Steve Thomas, damn it! Oh, that was embarrassing.
I like the Thibodeau reference. It's all good, buddy. So, thank you, Spiz, for the clues. If you have a mystery honor you want me to repeat on the show ad nauseum, or not ad nauseum, ad verbatim, just send me the clues over, people.
Oh, damn it. I'm mad at myself for that one.
That's fine. It's fine. It's 10 o'clock. We've been up late last night, buddy, doing the post-game show for the Patreon, by the way. It has been a late couple of weeks even with the Islanders out on the West Coast. Finally, they're back and they're not going back out West. I can't wait to have regular ice times again, or game times, I should say.
Yeah, that'll be a welcomed addition. So let's get to the social segment. We'll see what's going around on Isles Twitter. Mitch, what do you got for us?
The first one, the bunch of people tweeted it out. It's the no goal by Sebastian Aho. Do you think it crossed the line or not?
It's really close. See, my issue was that it was originally a goal on the ice, so there hasn't been enough for me like, oh yeah, that definitely didn't cross the line. So I feel like, I don't know, maybe that's just a football fan in me where I'm like, inconclusive evidence, you just stick with whatever you called on the field originally, or on the ice in this case, but I don't know. It's so damn close.
Yeah, I don't think it does, but I tweeted out to Scouting the Rest asking them about it, and they said it's pretty straightforward. Puck did not cross the line completely. But what they add to that is, now if the NHL can get to work on puck tracking instead of player tracking, we should have a better data to confirm whether it does or doesn't without relying on video. And I thought that was super smart.
Yeah, 1,000%. It's so dumb that they don't have that right now. Like, there's got to be some sort of tracker where it'd be like, hey, did this cross all the way? Yes or no?
Yeah, right? Like, they've got to have something for moments like this, because not only does the video not really perfect, because it depends on the angle you're looking at, the how the camera is set up, but it's also like, do you have the proper frame rate, right? Like, if you don't have the freeze on the proper frame, you might miss it.
Yeah, there's so many variables involved. There's got to be a better way.
Yeah, 100%. What do you got?
Well, this is from my world. For those of you who don't know, for my day job, I work for a sports gambling company. And this first one comes from the Island Sheik on Twitter. And I feel so bad for this guy. So he says, I had a pipe burst this weekend and I have a $10,000 plumbing bill. In all things that are holy, please God, let Sebastian Aho, parentheses, the Swede from the Islanders, score. So he did a three-leg parlay. And for those who don't know what a parlay is, well, you know, gambling's now legal in New York State. So this is going to be a much bigger part of our lives. So I'll teach you a little bit. You need all legs of your parlay to hit in order for you to win. So it was a three legs, same game parlay, and he was doing anytime goal scorers. JG Pageau was one of them. Devontaze was one of them.
Oh.
And Sebastian Aho was one of them. We know JG Pageau and Devontaze scored. And it looked like, just feeding off of what you were just saying, it looked like Sebastian Aho had it. So it was a $10 bet that would have turned into $5,000. He would have won $5,000 on $10 if that goal went in, Mitch.
That's heartbreaking. I would have lost my mind to be that close to $5,000. You're effectively $5,010 in the hole now, because the NHL can't get their crap together to decide what is and isn't a goal.
Right. So, like, people are going to be like, well, the $10,000 bill, like, why are you gambling trying to pay that? Like, it was a $10 bet. Like, this guy wasn't betting $10,000. Like, let's pump the brakes on that. But, oh, that was, that's about as bad of a beat as you could ever see. Just brutal, man.
Yeah, robbed. Robbed right there. Oh, I feel bad for Island Sheik, but it is what it is. Not gambling great. Is a fickle mistress.
It is, but it's fun.
It is. Yeah, it's very fun. Except in moments like these.
Well, I mean, this is why we do it.
That's true. You gotta accept that that's gonna happen.
Yeah, no, you just, yeah, exactly.
My next one here comes from NY Isles fan, or sorry, NY Islanders fan, and it's the little things that make me smile, and it's a picture of John Tavares' last 12 games, and it's 0 goals, and it actually extends further than that. He hasn't scored a goal in 13 games.
Wow. Quiet.
Love it. Yeah, quite. Putting up points still, right? He's got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Still got 10 helpers in those 13 games. So he's still got points, but not a whole lot of goals. Although he's already got 17 on the year. Like, I think he's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a massive number, but it's a solid number.
Yeah, 50 points in 52 games for JT, which he's fine. It's just funny to see 13 games without a goal. Lols.
Yeah, we can get our LOLs there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
My last one comes from Stefan Rosner. He says, Isles, Ilya Sorokin made 4 of the 5 starts on the road trip. Here are his stats. He went 2-1-1, 930 save percentage, 2.23 goals against, 1.23 goals saved above average, 955 high danger save percentage. This is, end quote on his tweet. This is now me. Hashtag good. Hashtag very good.
Yeah, that's very good. That's exactly what I want to see. Even on the, oh my God, those are, you win most of the time, levels of goaltending. And that's what happened, right?
Yeah,
they finished 2-2-1, but it could have very well been 3-1-1 and beating the Colorado Avalanche.
Should have been.
Yeah, should have been. My last one here comes from Isles on MSG, and it says hashtag Isles buzzing in the third period, like, and it's a Nintendo 64 controller with the rumble pack.
Oh, that was the best.
And the reason, I bring this up because the Rumble Pack was the worst thing ever. I hated the Rumble Pack. It was so dumb.
Rumble Pack. Wow.
It was dumb. It was so like violently like shake the controller and it chewed up all of your batteries for nothing.
Oh yeah, no, without a doubt. But I feel like that is just so nostalgic. Just like I could feel the controller shaking in my hand when you said that.
Yeah, and it's become a staple, right? Like every controller does that now. It was just, and it was so heavy, right? Because it was four AAA batteries, I believe, that was in there. Or is it four AA's? I think it was four AA's.
I don't remember, but I want to say double. I think it was the little thicker. I think it was the thick boys.
Yeah, that's insane. That's heavy at the edge of the controller, right? Because the way you hold it, it's leaning over the back end.
Yeah.
Worst thing, I hated it. I played it once, put the batteries in, and then when it died, I was like, thank God, never again.
I don't know, the feel of the controller shake, and that's like the big shake. You got to hold that with two hands, you know?
Yeah, right, if you're not holding it right, it's falling, and then all you hear is like, on the floor.
I loved it.
So that was my last one.
All right, so wherever you are listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and review. That really helps us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support there. You can follow along. We've mentioned it a few times on the show. Patreon, patreon.com. Eyes on Isles, so you get bonus content for $5 a month, post-game pod after every single game, a mailbag show once a week, you get a Discord of Islanders fans. It's a whole lot of fun, worth your while, for sure to check out. Social media, Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY, Mitch is TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You can also download the Fansided app, get us there, or you can check out the website, eyesonisles.com, for all your New York Islanders needs. That's going to do it for us on episode number 237. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I am Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.